Even though that was a very wondrous thing that happened, people were alternately awed and upset, depending upon who they were and what they were thinking. And so when we enter this story today from the Gospel of Mark, it's saying upon leaving the synagogue, then Jesus went to Simon and Andrew's and took his mother-in-law's hand and helped her to get up, and she began immediately to serve. And so the reason it says after sunset, as evening drew on, they brought all the ill, is because it was Sabbath, and you don't move about on the Sabbath. So they had to wait until the sun went down, and then they started bringing people to Jesus. So the piece about the demons, not allowing the demons to speak. The demons knew his name, like the Holy One of God or the Messiah. So they knew half of the picture. But they didn't know the part of why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to be a magician. Jesus came to unite us with God, to renew that relationship with God, to eliminate the alienation, and to call people to love and to discipleship. And so we know when we listen to the stories of the gospel that when Jesus fed people, they're like, Jesus is feeding people and we're hungry, physically hungry. And so that's why Jesus said, you're going to follow me if I feed you. But if I don't feed you, where will you go? Will you still be there? The same with curing versus healing. So curing means, you know, that there's a disease and that Jesus was able to cure. And that will happen next week in Mark's gospel with the leper. So that leprosy will leave him and he'll be restored to community. So when we look at Jesus' healing, that's different than curing. Healing is restoration to right relationship with God. Healing is finding inside ourselves the goodness of God. Healing is recognizing who we are in community and that we're called to serve and to bring about the kingdom of God. So Jesus is bringing the message of the kingdom of God. One of the ways he does that is by touching people. And by touching people, some are healed and some are cured. So what I want to say about that is, for me, Catholicism is sacramental, right? And so one of the sacraments is anointing of the sick. I can't tell you how many people we have anointed in the last year. It's a lot of people. And when I have the great privilege to pray with people, I'm invoking God's presence to heal. Cure may or may not happen. Healing always happens. So the prayer when you're anointed, anointing of the sick, is for about that deep connection to be deepened and deeper. And for us to know that we are more than our body. Our bodies are precious and are temples of the Holy Spirit. And what is eternal is what lasts forever. So when I pray with people, my hope is that transformation happens through whatever suffering is going on. That through our suffering, through those times when we are hurting so badly, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, that we draw closer to God in that moment. and that God will do healing in that moment in terms of bringing us to wholeness. I think sometimes people are disappointed when I don't pray for cure. But what I know is that Jesus' message to us is that that touch, that gathering through me of the community, is to restore people to wholeness, and the physicality may or may not change. What we do so well here, and I'm so grateful for, is to gather around people who are hurting. We have people who are hurting physically. We have people who are grieving. We have people who are mentally just at the end of their rope. And we gather around people and hold them and send them cards and say you're important. And if you don't come to church for a couple weeks, you're probably going to get a phone call. Right? We care about people. And I'm really grateful for that. And you've taught me so much about that. So when we look at that healing presence, it is that moment of Jesus saying, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is in you. It's in us. We're building it day by day together. So when the mother-in-law got up and started to serve, that's because that's what she did. Likely, she had no family, because if her husband was alive, of course, she'd be with her husband. If her husband died, she'd be with her sons, because that's how the patriarchy worked. She must not have had that either. So for her to be with her daughter's family meant she was tremendously isolated. It's like the kiss of death in that culture, to be a widow and not have a home. So for him to call her forth from her sick bed and bring her back to service, isn't that what we all want to do for each other? Is call each other to serve, to build the kingdom of God, to share the good news, to say this is what it's all about. Of course I want physical healing for people. I want it for myself. I want it for all who suffer in any way. I think most of you know I have Crohn's, and it's in remission, thanks be to God and my body and doctors and all of those things together. And would I like it to be gone altogether? Sure, I would. And how does that condition draw me closer to God, draw me closer to transformation, help me to rely more on God, help me to not disregard my physicality, but to honor it? So as we move forward to next week and the healing of the leper, and we move into Lent, it's about how do we transform our hearts, that which Jesus came about. Some of the physical stuff, yes, happened, but he came to tell us to change our hearts, to recognize God's love in us, and to know we're never alone, we're never abandoned, and God is always working to unify us in love. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be with you all in your pain and in your joy, in your suffering and your rejoicing. That gives me much gift. And to see you pass it along to one another, God's great love, is just tremendous joy. So I'm grateful for you, and we'll celebrate more next week. Let's stand and profess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.